Our Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou would open the Word, help us to understand it. Grant our Father, as we recognize the truth related to the future, we will live more intelligently in the present. Meet every need of every waiting heart today, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together, and notice with us the 14th chapter. In the 14th chapter of the book of the Revelation, we have been introduced to a group of people standing on Mount Zion in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. By comparing Revelation chapter 7 with Revelation chapter 14, we discovered that the group in Revelation 7 is the same as the group in Revelation 14. The group in Revelation 14 are 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will be commissioned during the tribulation period to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they are standing in the presence of their Lord, awaiting their well done from Him, just as someday we will stand in the presence of our Lord, awaiting our well done from Him. The last time we were with you round our radios, we said that in the 14th chapter of the book of the Revelation, there are seven things recorded about this group of people that we need to notice very briefly. And I say very briefly because they do not need a great deal of comment. If you will glance at verse 1, the first thing recorded about these 144,000, according to the text that I have before me, is that they have their Father's name written in their foreheads. But if you were to read the text in the original language, you would find that it reads, they have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father written in their foreheads. Do you remember when we glanced at Revelation chapter 7? We noticed these individuals with a seal on their foreheads. We were not told what it was. Here we are told what the seal was. It was the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the name of God is a strong tower, and they who flee into it shall be saved. I believe that indicates that these individuals were sealed with the name of God in their foreheads, that they might be protected from all the evils and all the judgments of the tribulation period. We are told in verse 2 that John, as he looked upon this scene, heard a lot of noise in heaven. Heaven is not a quiet place, you know. He speaks of two voices that he heard to begin with, and not stopping to tell us here what they actually said. One of the voices he describes in verse 2 as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. If you remember what you read in Revelation 1:10 and again in verse 15, you know whose voice that is. Revelation 1:10, you will recall, read, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. John identifies that person as the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So, in this glad scene that is presented here in Revelation 14 on Mount Zion, John heard the voice of the Savior, though he did not record what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He heard also in the 14th verse another voice. He said, I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. He does not tell us who these individuals were, nor what they said. But if you will turn to Revelation chapter 15, you will notice who these people are whom John heard. He said, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For them, in them, is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his work, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And we will notice that eventually, when we get to it, some of the truths in this verse. But going back to chapter 14, John heard the testimony of those who had come out of great tribulation. In verse 3, he tells us the second thing about the 144,000, because the pronoun in verse 3 refers not to those who are harping with their harps, but to the 144,000 in verse 1. The second thing we are told about these 144,000 is that they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So the second thing we are told is that they have a special place in relation to God because of their faithful service and because of the service which they had rendered to the Lord. Because of this special place, they are able to sing a song of praise that no one else is able to sing. They have indeed a distinct privilege. The third thing that is said about the 144,000 is suggested in the last statement of verse 3. For here we are told that they were redeemed from the earth. That is, they were purchased out of all the people who were living on the earth, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That reminds us, of course, that they were human beings and that they were saved in exactly the same way that you and I are saved now, that their salvation is complete. They stand in the presence of God on Mount Zion. In verse 4, the fourth thing is mentioned about these 144,000. This verse has presented a problem to some folk because of the language in which it is written. Because of that language, it would seem almost contradictory in the way that it is presented. Notice the words, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." That would seem to contradict itself. These individuals were celibate. They had no relationship with women whatsoever. The very next statement says they were virgins. And that would seem to be contradictory in our way of thinking. But the entire matter is cleared up. If you remember that the word translated virgins here in verse 4 is a word in the original Greek language which refers either to men or to women in an unmarried state. So there is really no problem. They were men who, for the sake of the cause of Christ in which they were engaged, remained celibate. This is not to suggest, remember, that there is anything wrong with a marriage relationship. As a matter of fact, if you will study carefully the Word of God, you will find that it is the relationship which God has ordained for this age. And He encourages individuals to marry, unless He should lead the individual person from the way he may lead the majority. But when the tribulation comes, and things become very difficult, and the preaching of the gospel becomes a very difficult thing, it is suggested that sometimes the work of God can be done better without family responsibilities than it can be done with those responsibilities. Glance with me now again at verse 4, and you will notice the fifth thing which is said about the 144,000. "These are they," we read, "which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." This does not seem like a very profound statement, but if you will examine the word "follow" in the original text, you will find that it is suggesting that the 144,000 accompany, that's a better word than follow, accompany the Lord Jesus Christ as an honor guard whithersoever he goes. We do know that salvation is God's free gift, and that nothing that anybody can do can merit it. We accept it as such. But we recognize as well that there are privileged positions in heaven given to individuals because of faithful service. We're going to have to stop our meditation right here because our time is gone.